Siv Jacobsen, nice to talk to you finally. We're going to talk a little bit about your second record. It's called A Temporary Soothing. It was released in August. So yeah, how are you? Are you happy with your second one? And how is the feedback so far?
I'm very happy, actually. I was thinking about it today. It's gone really well, I think. And I haven't, knock on wood, seen any negative feedback, which has been incredible. And I feel very happy that it's finally out. I spent a really long time working on it, so it feels like a big release to be able to share it.
How are the critiques in Norway? Are they strict? Are they hard? Because you seem surprised.
I'm sure they can be. I think it's just, you know, it's quite normal to have a little bit of everything, you know, some great, some bad, some medium. And at least from what I've seen, everything seems to have been quite positive. So that's, I think that's beyond what you can actually hope for a record, because it's not everyone likes everything, you know. It's just the way it is. It's just personal taste. So maybe I've just been very fortunate that the people who have listened and reviewed my music has seemed to enjoy it a lot. So that's been really nice.
Yeah. And are you a band? So who are the other musicians on the record?
Well, I'm a solo artist, but there are other people playing on the record, of course. It's not that many of us. It's the producer, Chris Bond, and the engineer, Bear Bond. They are, them along with myself, make up most of the instruments, like the musicians on the record. And then there's an incredible violin player who plays violin and traditional Norwegian fiddle called Harding fiddle. On it as well. But so it's just the four of us playing everything.
What do you play?
I play guitars and I sing. So I do all the vocals, or all the female vocals, and most of the guitars.
And you write all the lyrics and you compose all the the music. Okay.
Yeah, there's one song that I co-wrote with a friend. But other than that, I wrote all the songs myself.
Yeah, so the mood in your music is rather serious than funny. So that's that's quite obvious. And there's this cliche, you know, you talked about it a lot, that musicians have always to suffer to be creative and so on. Do you agree with that a little bit?
No, I don't. I think I was worried that was true. So that's why I wrote a lot about it. But I don't think that you have to suffer, or that you have to suffer more. What I mean by that is that I don't think you have to suffer more than you would anyway. Because I think we in life go through so many different things, and there are inevitably going to be difficult things that happen in your life. So I think that, you know, as an artist, you look at it and you write about it or paint about it or whatever. But I don't think that we need to make it bigger than it is. But I think that there's definitely this idea that, you know, we suffer because we need something to create. And it was something that I was worried about a lot, but I think for me anyway, I can't talk for anyone else, but for me, I've come to the conclusion that I write about what's going on in my life, and there's bound to be friction in your life. And so it's natural to write about that more than writing about the easy things, to write about it, to understand it, to be able to kind of process things. So for me, I find that writing songs actually makes me feel better and helps me feel better more. But when I was writing this album, I was worried that, you know, that I was doing that kind of without knowing, that I was creating friction and negativity in my life to have something to write about. But I don't believe that anymore.
Okay, so maybe this is the only difference, that artists just express their feelings. So they have maybe the same feelings as everybody else, but they just talk about it, they sing about it. Yeah, they come out.
It comes out, and I guess there's a focus on it because my job is to do this and to write songs and perform them. So inevitably, it's going to seem like maybe I'm more sad than other people or have more difficult things in my life. But it's just that I kind of put it under a magnifying glass and make art out of it and then release it. So people really see that's the part that people see. If that makes sense. But again, I can't talk for everybody else. I'm sure that myth exists for a reason, and that I'm sure a lot of people, that it can be a destructive nature to do that. But I don't think it has to be that way.
But the record is called A Temporary Soothing. So, I mean, there must be at least a little bit of suffer if soothing is necessary.
Yeah, well, I think everybody has difficult things in their lives. It's inevitable. I think with this record, something that it's important that I've sorry about that. Something that I have realized. Sorry, I lost my train of thought there because the phone rang. The other phone rang. What was it that your question was again?
I said that there must be a little bit of suffer because the name of the record.
Yeah. Well, I think that my kind of the overarching theme that I've found in this record and that I've come, the conclusion that I've come to is that, you know, you can't aim to feel great all the time because it's not possible, I think. I think that we need all the different emotions, and you know, life is up and down, but at the end I think that there's always light at the end of the tunnel. And you know, you're not, I think if you feel great every day, then it doesn't feel great to feel great. So we need, you know, we need to feel all sorts of things. And so my aim is for this record to be like a temporary soothing for the listener, but I don't mean for it to just make someone feel better forever. It's just, you know, all you can aim for is to feel generally better if you're feeling really bad, I guess. But to aim to feel perfect and amazing all the time, I think you're setting yourself up for failure. But I think there's a lot of focus on how perfect lives can be seemingly, for example, on the internet, on social media, where we all tend to only put out the positive things. And so I think it's easy to think that, you know, everyone's else's life is perfect all the time. Why isn't mine? Does that make sense? I think it's important to remember that, like, there are so many layers to us as humans and us, our feelings. And just, you know, it's not possible to feel great all the time, and that's okay.
Yeah, and the main feeling the main negative feeling on the record is fear, isn't it?
Mm.
And
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's always this problem with fears. I mean, sometimes fears are not, they are just imagined or irrational, you know, they are not real. So it's just a problem in you, in yourself, like if children see ghosts
definitely.
And so on. Or the fear of not being good enough as well. Do you know such, or is it about such kinds of fears and feelings? Or is it a real, realistic menace?
I think for me, this on this record, I'm writing a lot about, you say fear, and it's definitely fear. I think it's also something I've realized after writing it and making it, is that it's a lot of it is actually anxiety. It's just that I didn't know that it was anxiety. I was seeing it as fear. But I've since learned that often what you feel is fear is actually anxiety, and it's kind of the way that the anxiety manifests, and in like feeling very nervous and very anxious. And I have struggled with that a lot, and I didn't really realize that it was such a big part of my life to feel fearful and anxious. And So I guess it's there's definitely an element of irrationality in it. But I think it's quite common to have that kind of, it's like rational and irrational at the same time. For example, I write about in one of the songs about being scared of driving. And I think that, you know, even though that's in a, it's an irrational fear to be afraid to drive, it's also a little, it's also rational because something could happen and, you know, you might be in an accident and you might hurt someone. So it's like that kind of when the irrational part of the rational fear takes over and it limits you in your life, it becomes a big burden. Because it's a big responsibility to drive a car and you shouldn't forget about that, but that's when it takes over and you can't actually do it because of your fear. So I think that's been a big thing for me, is like the kind of irrational part of rational fear taking over and becoming too big.
So maybe we should even have more fear, for example, by driving a car or going on street. So that could be an answer as well.
I don't know. I feel like for me, it's definitely been a negative thing it's taken over a bit in some cases. But I think that being aware of it is very important. And I just think that there's so many, many people out there that have the same kind of everyday anxiety. And you just think it's normal. And it is maybe normal, but it doesn't mean that you have to feel that way. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's such a big topic, you know, it's hard to...
Yes,
to,
of course. Yeah. And it's hard in English for both of us, maybe.
And if you ask me tomorrow, maybe I would have a different answer.
In the song Island, you sing, "I am an island and here I keep." So I don't know if it's about relationships, but for me, it was just my interpretation. So that even if you're not alone, so even if you are in love or in a relationship, you are alone because you can share everything, but you cannot become one as an island. Is it your opinion as well?
I mean, that's a nice way to look at it. I've never thought of it that way, but that's what I think is so fascinating with songwriting, is that you can write something and it can be mean something different to everyone. I actually wrote that about having creative freedom and how important that is for me. I think there's a lot of artists out there who are kind of forced to give up a big amount of their creative freedom for, you know, to be able to do their job with labels and things like that. And I think it's so important to get to be creatively free when you make music or any kind of art. So that song was written about that, because I feel so fortunate to have that, because I've stayed very independent throughout my career. So no one's ever coming in to tell me what they like and what they don't like. I just deliver my album to the people releasing it and that's it. And I think that for me, it's so important, and it makes me very sad when I hear stories of people being, you know, being kind of shaped and forced to change their art to fit some sort of mold that some business person has decided. It was about that. And it also was about my last album, Campaign. I felt a little bit sometimes... not always, of course, but in a few interviews, I felt that the questions were quite invasive, very personal. That last record was very, very personal and very sad. And it was very hard to, it was hard for me to talk about. And sometimes I just felt a bit vulnerable. And I felt like there was some very, very personal questions in a very public setting. And that made me quite upset. So it's about that as well.
Yeah, I've seen that you have a lot of video clips published. Mm-hmm. So about 5 or so. It's quite a lot, isn't it?
So yeah, the videos for the album.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how come? I mean, are you a fan of video clips, or is it a must nowadays?
You know, for me, it was there wasn't really supposed to be more than two. I think, yeah, for the two first singles. But then my album was moved from April to August. So there was just all of a sudden all this time to make more content or make more videos. And I make all my videos with the same person, a close friend of mine who lives in Oslo here. And so for us, it's really about just finding the time, finding a day to be able to make something. So we were able to make two extra videos, I think. I think there's only four for this album. Maybe I forgot about one, but no, we've got four videos, and then there's one mini documentary that we made in the studio. So I guess there was three. Yeah, there was three videos that we made before the lockdown happened, and then we made two more over the summer.
And two in Oslo in Norway with all the snow?
The one with all the snow, one of them was actually shot in Japan. There's one that's called Fight or Flight, and that was shot in Japan when we were on tour there about a year and a half ago, and my videographer was with me, so we made a video there. And then the other one is in a couple of hours from Oslo in the countryside.
Okay. Yeah, I was a bit jealous because I missed the snow here.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I hope.
We have lots.
I hope next winter it will come again.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we have lots of snow.
Okay, yeah. Maybe in the end, The Closer, I call it Love. So it's maybe, I don't know if it's the most important song, but it seems to be really important because it's a kind of answer, isn't it? So that maybe love is the answer on everything and on fear especially, because you are safe when you love.
Yeah, maybe. I haven't thought of it that way, but I do feel like it's a very important song for me because it's a very positive song, I think, and it's a song about kind of unconditional love, and it can be very hard to write about the good things, but I felt like I was able to on that song, and that is for me, it's more difficult to write about the easy things than the really difficult friction, so it is a very important song for me, for sure.
But the frightened would call it foolish to to be in love or to let yourself fall completely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because love
that
can produce
true.
Fear as well, or fear of loss and of getting hurt and so on.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
But you are a love optimist?
I think I am, yeah.
You're a lucky one.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Sif Jacobsen, thanks a lot for this a bit chaotic interview.
No worries. Thank you. It was nice to talk to you.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.